What is an evil report? An evil report is not the devil's going to kill you. The evil report is not Satan is on your trail. Somebody says to me, what's an evil report? The devil is on my back. That's not an evil report. An evil report is anything you say contrary to what God said is declared to be an evil report. So they came back with an evil report. And here's what it was. They looked at the people in that land and they said, those people are giants. Our giant steps are getting ready to happen. You don't have giant steps until you see giants. He said, those people are giants. And here's what they said. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. Now, remember I made the remark to you, man of God, that the destiny in your life is tied up because of the mindset you have. That's why the Bible said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the all that we ask or think, all that we ask or think, all that we ask or think. Our asking and thinking has locked up our destiny. And he said, all that you ask and think according to the Holy Spirit that worketh in us. He wants to get out of us, but we got him locked up with our little narrow minds. We're not anybody. We can't do anything. We can't take giant steps. We can't go far. You've locked up a destiny of greatness because of your mindset.
Jesus, that's good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, I'll quieten it down, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And God says, I got a work for you to do that you can't do until you change your mind. He said, I've been calling you to do great things, but your mind says I'm not worthy. Your mind is like Moses. When I ask him to do great things, you're finding out your faults. I created you. I don't speak well. I'm not educated. Now I'm going to say something that's almost scary. No offense against the offices that God has. Ephesians says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But prophets were never God's first intent. Never was. The Bible says in the book of Exodus that he wanted to speak to all of us individually. But when they had the opportunity to hear him and they heard how awesome he was about how great they were, the first marathon hit us. They ran 25 miles unstopped and said, don't you let them talk to us. And we still been running ever since, man, to God. I don't want to go hear that prophet. I don't want to get near that man. I don't want to get rid of that woman. She might tell me, stop running. They ran away and the prophet became the voice. And I had a man to say to me, how dare you say that when Ephesians 11 says that the apostles and prophets and evangelists, the teachers and the pastors are here until we perfect the saints, until we come into the full measure of Christ. You don't understand what he's saying. He said the only reason they're still here so you can become mature and hear yourself. That's the whole purpose, is to get you to hear yourself. Don't get hung up on them. I want you to get hung up on me. You ought to be able to say yes, sir, to me yourself. But because you don't, I got prophets that will speak to you. Now you say, how do I get that? I never forget, I left Florida. We moved to Florida. And my mentors, Derek Prince, Derek Gillis, and Dr. Williams, who labored with me, Judson Cornwall, all these guys, worship, they wouldn't turn me loose. I wasn't used to any of that stuff. I didn't know anything about worship. All I knew is I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. His eyes on the sparrow, that's all I knew. He's watching over me. That's all I knew. At the cross where I first, and I was still at the first light. I hadn't moved on after that. Shall we sleep? I was just wondering if we was getting ready to do something. Believe me, I need it, bro, because I tell you, the hours come fast this morning. They came awfully fast. I had to ask God, have you elevated me to another realm? Because I need this. But while we were in Florida, and all of the men of God that were teaching me how to worship and how to do all the things that I needed to do, I almost forgot my trend here for a moment. But God was sharing some things with me. He was teaching me how to worship. He was teaching me how to get his presence and really get his presence. Listen, really get his presence. Really get his presence. Now, I don't want to teach you on that because if I do, you find out everybody got his true presence in quietness. Not a man I know biblically. Now, we talked about the prophets. We talked about all of this. But it's that quiet moment. We don't have enough of this. We don't have enough quiet times. Silence has a sound. Silence has a sound. It's in those moments when I just get away from everybody. Friends. Everybody. Me and God. It's just me and God. I do a little illustration. And maybe I can help you again, darling. Maybe I just want to show you off, walk on up here. When you get our age and you look like that, you all right. Say right here. The Bible says when we're in God's presence, see, a lot of times we make a lot of noise and we enjoy ourselves. He sees this. But the Bible says that God talked to Moses face to face. I checked it out in the Hebrew because I wanted to know what face to face was. This is face to face to me. But God said, no, that's not face to face. As long as I'm standing here, I can see all of her and still myself. The closer I get, the less of me I see. The closer I get, the less of me I see. God says face to face is when you're nose to nose. Now, when you're like this, you can't see anything but her eyes. And God said, that's where I want my children, so close to me that they can't see anything but me. That's what you get in your quiet time. That's what you get in that time when you're telling God, 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 and you get right here, you forget all about yourself. Now listen to me. Go to Galatians chapter 5, a book of 6 chapters, to show you how God is getting ready to get us out the box. The prophets are trying to mature us. The apostles are working diligently to get us to a level. Chief apostle is bringing folks in to help us and to just set us on fire. Every night I've been sitting over there and leaning forward. And everybody think I'm leaning forward because I'm uncomfortable. That's the position I get in when I'm hungry. I'm a greedy person when I get hungry. You know, I lean over my food. So you see me sliding forward. It's not because I'm tired. It's because I'm about to run up there and stand with the person. I just can't take it sometime. Last night, we had one that took everything. The prophet had a lady with a coat on her. I like to jump all over that lady, man. You don't do that to me no more. My spirit lit up. I wanted to come up there so bad. And I said, God, should I move? He said, no, you just sit right there. He knows what he's doing. Not trying to help you. I just want to be there with you on that one. Because you nailed that. You nailed that. And I'm like, I think I told my wife, I said, he got this. He got this. He got this one. And I said, it's going to be an all-night fight for her. It's going to be a long time. And the man came right over and told you that. See, when I see stuff like that, I've already had this feeling. That's why I run with this man. I see the Lord on him. I don't have any other reason except he's sharp. Now, he can tear me on some blow. But that man got the Lord on him. I say this to you not to lift you up and try to make you get to a point. One of the things God said we got to get rid of is thinking we're something. No, I'm after you because the Lord is on you. In fact, most women are after the man not because he looks so good. It's because of his spirit. And I tell preachers, be careful when people, especially females, get attached. You ain't all that good looking. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's good. They after that anointing.
That's right.
And if they can contaminate it, they show enough will. Amen. I had to say that. Amen. I mean, they don't discriminate with age. Just because I'm 73, like I told you, they still come at me. I got it going on. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Got it going on, y'all. I still got it, boy. But that's all right. They can't beat that right there. Now, they got to come real hard to beat that. That's right. But in the book of Galatians, quickly, and I'm going to stop a minute because God is doing something. Remember I told you yesterday that when the children of Israel got to the place called Gilgal, they had a thing called circumcision. Now, circumcision is cutting the foreskin of the penis, of the reproduction, that organ. And we go, no, yeah, it does hurt. There's no question about it, especially if you get it done at an old age. You're supposed to do it 8 days after the baby is born so they don't have any recollection. But if you're older and they do it, my God, yeah, you need to pray in the spirit. It's extremely painful. But not only that, to cut it means there's a bleeding. Remember what the man of God said last night. That blood seals the new covenant. It erases the curse that Israel had on the other side of Jordan. Now understand where I'm going. That circumcision was the flesh. Paul had the same incident in the book of Galatians. He came to some people that he had a great deal to do with that was spiritual, and Paul got upset. He greeted them. If you read chapter 1, he greeted them so graciously. And he said, you're saved and set free through the Spirit and through the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price and set you free. And then he kicked them right in the derriere. How dare you? How dare you let somebody come in and begin to add and teach wrong stuff to you? The Judaizers came in. He went as far as saying, I wish they not only would circumcise their flesh, but go a little bit further. That means castrate themselves. He said, cut the whole thing off. He said, why do they do this? And he said, don't you understand what's going on? They told you you can't be saved unless you also are circumcised. If I keep teaching circumcision, then why am I persecuted? I've been still preaching, but they still trying to kill me and beat me up. What's the purpose of my doing it? Why do I keep telling you that? Why do you fall victim to tradition? Why do you keep falling back into something trying to make it work when it doesn't work? Now listen to what I'm about to say. He said, you're trying to fall back into something that's really not about God. But you're trying to make it look like God. Here's what Satan does. The Bible says in John 10:10, he comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. His methods are different. They never change. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life are the three major categories that got multi-millions of ways to operate under them. But now watch what he does. If Satan can't take it away, he also will increase it to its more than what it should be. And he still steals the purpose of the item. For instance, everybody became apostles. Everybody. There was apostles jumping out of the woodwork. You could go to a grocery store and the apostle was behind the cash register. And it was only Satan's effort to dilute the power of the real apostles by giving more. I got to steal the validity. I've got to steal the power. How do you do it? You dilute it with unreal individuals. We had a man in our city that every church he went in, he walked. You are an apostle and ordained him. The organization died so fast and he's dead at an early age himself. Young, powerful guy that could have made it. But everybody was apostle. Apostle this. I was an apostle when it wasn't known. Man, they were just to mention that word was almost a curse word. I didn't even want it. I was like him. I don't want no title. Not like that. I didn't want it. And I know my mantle. My mantle was to train the spirit, the soul, and the body. I know his mantle. I know this mantle. I know her mantle. I know the mantles. I'm not intimidated because I can't do what they do or sound like they sound. My responsibility is not to act like. My responsibility is to obey him. Don't you ever try to change to satisfy. Because if you satisfy the people, you'll dissatisfy God's call on your life. Your destiny will be hindered by you pleasing people. God doesn't give us destinies to please. They are made to be accomplished. Don't you do that. Don't you let the people tell you how to please them. You please God. You hear me? I don't know why I'm really telling. Don't you do that, son. You stay with this man. You listen to this man here. Don't do that.